I'm very happy now to welcome to the program Blake Bradford. He is the director of the play Callback, which is produced by Zephyr Rep and Santa Fe Playhouse, and it's going into its last weekend this weekend. It's the last performances are Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And Jonathan Richards, who is one of the two stars of this show, welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Hi, Mary Charlotte.
Hi.
So this is a genre which I don't always buy into, which is art about art. So this is theater about theater, but it's actually so well written and so interesting that it kind of gets away with being self-reflexive.
Right, right. I try to say, and Jonathan and I talked about this, because Santa Fe is such an artist town, that it's not just for actors, theater actors. It's for anyone who's really lived an artist's life. You know, the struggles. It follows these two characters, Joan Darling and Jonathan Richards, through 43 years of their lives of struggling, the highs and lows of being artists. Ed is a director, Judy is an actor. And it's the sort of struggle that any of us, dancers, painters, leading this sort of life that mom and dad never wanted you to lead, has always been something that all artists can share in common.
Right, and the thing about this kind of struggle is that it is not really quantifiable. You don't necessarily get to the top by being the best.
Right.
It can happen, and many of the people at the top are among the best, but it is easy to have plenty of talent and fall by the wayside because so much depends on where you are at what time and if you get called for the right reading and how you're feeling that day, and you know, so many things go into it. So this story of these two people's lives in the theater, lives in an art form over half a century, will really speak to a lot of people.
It's so interesting because, I mean, we're all interested, I think, in what goes on behind the scenes to make something happen, whether it be a movie or, I mean, there's innumerable movies about artists, most of which are terrible, but... what's so interesting to me about this one is precisely that question of success and failure. The character of Joan Darling is a character that, her name is Judy, who she's, if the script is accurate, I mean, she's immensely talented and never quite makes it. She does have some success as a director, but she never quite has her success as an actor. And I mean, from the way you're talking, Jonathan, that is accurate?
Well, the thing, this, of course, the play was written by Joan Darling's husband, Bill Svano, and it's kind of a Valentine to Joan's career. Joan has had a very successful career in as an actress, as a director, and as a teacher, but she has not had, as the character in the play, never gets the really great Broadway role. It's not that she hasn't acted plenty and done some wonderful things, but she never quite got that particular brass ring, which is the brass ring that anybody coming to New York and wanting to be in theater is trying to grab.
Right. And we have so much talking about the success and what it does to these characters. Ed's character, Jonathan, he gets such success at an early age that it sort of destroys his personal life. And so he spends a lot of the play trying to build back from that, and then he finds success again as a second time, which doesn't happen to a lot of us. But to piggyback on what Jonathan's saying about with Joan, she had two parts on Broadway, and both plays closed down about a week within opening. And it's that sort of thing that...
I think one closed on the second night,
right,
and one closed the night before it opened,
right,
so she has an average of opening night.
And Jonathan and I talk about this. All I ever wanted to do was have a play, to direct a play on Broadway, and ended up in TV, and I won an Emmy in 2008. And it has moved my career away from theater, which I love. And, you know, we talk about, Jonathan, you know, talks a lot about, in our interviews, about how he started as an actor in New York, found a beautiful, beautiful woman in one of his acting classes, and how that changed his life. I'll let you.
Well, I did meet my wife back in around the time that this play starts, in the middle 60s. The play starts actually a few years earlier. I'm not going to go back quite that far, but Claudia and I met in Herbert Berghoff's class in New York, and it was the same. The character that Joan plays, Judy, talks about when I first came to New York, all I wanted to do was classical theater. I wouldn't even dream of doing commercial theater, and the idea of doing a commercial was a Class A felony. That's the way, I don't know how actors talk today, but back in the 60s when Claudia and I were going to Herbert Berghoff's class, actors would sit around in Gray's coffee shop and they would talk endlessly about the only things they would really accept. Yeah, I had a friend who would only consider doing Polish theater. He didn't want to do anything. And the idea of doing a commercial really was considered, you just would not even consider that. Then what happened was that Sir Laurence Olivier did a television commercial for, I think it was Polaroid, but it was or Kodak, but it, and then the conversation shifted a little bit. Young actors would say, "Well, if it was something classy like what Olivier did, maybe I would consider doing it." Yeah, right.
If it was an art medium like photography,
exactly. Right. Yeah, if it's something really classy, you would never do Dreft or something like
no,
that.
No,
yeah.
No. It's got to be classy like Polaroid, right?
Very interesting. We're talking about the play Callback at the Santa Fe Playhouse that is running through this weekend, Thursday through Sunday. I think another interesting thing about this play, I mean, these two characters, they first meet in 1962, and so you have Joan Darling and Jonathan Richards playing 20-somethings.
Well, it's a bit of a stretch.
Well, so much.
It reminded me of that, of Same Time Next Year,
right?
Which is both a play and a movie that stretches over decades, and in the movie, there's no close-ups in the first.
Of course. Or the Dynasty thing, where it's kind of like the Vaseline over the lens.
The Joan Collins shot.
But anyway, one of the things that's also really interesting about it is that, in a way, you're set up for having this be a budding, burgeoning love story. But in fact, it turns out to really be, as it goes on, a friendship story.
Right.
And that's also something that's unusual and kind of beautiful.
Well, I think that's one of the great things about the play is it doesn't fall into the cliche. And, you know, you talked earlier, there's so many, it's not so fun to watch a lot of art about art. And Robert Altman, of course, made a great career out of making those sort of movies. And there's the musical The Last 5 Years, A.R. Gurney's Love Letters. And what's fun about this play is as long as the two actors are similar aged, any age can do this play because it does go through 43 years from 1962 to 2005.
Now, you did a student production of it at North Carolina, didn't you?
Actually, when we did it off-Broadway in New York, I had Joan Darling and a 70s TV actor that I won't name. I also ran it with a 30-something-year-old cast. So I had two casts of the show. And, one night we would have the 30-somethings playing it, and one night we would have Joan and the other actor. And it's so interesting to see the slight differences that happen because, you know, of course, younger actors don't know what the 1960s were like.
Right.
So they sometimes have to do a little bit more research.
We remember being young better than they remember being old,
yeah.
Well, one of the nice things in this production is that you have, as the scenes change, you have all these visuals and also music representing the iconic images and to some extent music of the time period.
Well,
so
Blake,
from the
Blake
60s,
put that together, that slideshow, and it serves several purposes. For one thing, it takes you back and reminds you with the images and the music of what was going on in those particular years, and it also serves to entertain the audience while the scenes are being changed.
While you change your costumes.
While we change our costumes, as we're back there frantically tugging ties over our heads.
13 costume changes that Jonathan and Joan have to deal with.
Right.
And we've had such fun because I, of course, wanted to keep those transitions as short as possible. And Jonathan and Joan, they didn't enjoy that as much as I did. we've had all sorts of, you'll have to tell your tie story.
Well, the first night, I guess it was opening night, I had to, or possibly the final preview, but an audience was out there and I had to pull a tie over my head, and the tie jammed, and it wouldn't loosen, so I had to just force it up over my head, and I had a little scab on my ear. And I got out on the stage for the next scene, and I suddenly felt something sort of wet on my neck, and I reached
blood
up.
Blood running down your neck.
Blood was pouring down my neck. It wasn't just like a little spot or two. It was like Lady Macbeth.
Yeah,
and
yes.
fortunately, it was my upstage ear. I got to play most of the yes. The scene upstage, but Blake yes. could tell from up in the
booth.
And I was I just had to, you know.
And you think, is this part of the drama?
Yeah.
Well, it we
the bloody hand. But anyway. he was genius. He changed the blocking. He still kept all of the movement going, but he was slightly turned upstage with that right ear for the
wow.
whole scene.
Amazing.
And due to the wonderful technology we have in theaters, the backstage stage manager, I was texting her to have her ready with some medical
a
supplies.
A tourniquet,
something to stop the blood flow.
So, just so the audience knows, this is not for sissies, this theater
yes.
business.
Yes, this theater business. Well, I mean, another thing that's beautiful about this play is it's a kind of love letter, not only to Joan Darling, but to theater itself
yes.
and
right.
what theater can do. And really the poignancy that whether you're in the arts or not, whatever your life is, that there are just those few moments in a lifetime
mm-hmm.
where something profound and beautiful happens that you participate in
right.
and that you make happen.
And these characters, they sometimes go 6 years without seeing each other. And they've just built such a bond over, in one of the earliest scenes, they talk about how much they love theater. And that sets this lifelong bond that they can go 6 years and pick up right where they left off.
Right, but picking up on what Mary Charlotte was saying, there is a line in the play where Judy refers to, she says, a play is something that only happens once. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the great thing about live theater is that your experience that night in seeing the show, in playing the show, is only going to happen that night. It'll be a little different tomorrow night. It was a little different the night before. And actors will come off stage and say, wow, we really got it tonight. Or they'll come off stage and say, I don't know, it just isn't, you know. But by the time you've done a show a number of times, the tolerance, the range of on the downside, I think, is pretty well controlled. But there are still moments, and again, Joan has a line about this, where she says there was one night when I was playing Dorothy Parker in a little
right.
place in New Jersey, and I just nailed it, and the connection with the audience was just there. And those, of course, are wonderful moments.
Right.
And we have them every night.
Yes.
This is not a show in which we normally gossip, but I would have to... there's a character in it. There's a lot of characters who never come on stage, but they're named. For
right.
example, Jonathan's character has a long-standing relationship on and off with somebody named Faye Dunkirk. Now, that's pretty thinly veiled Faye Dunaway.
Really? Yes.
You know, that never occurred to us.
Never occurred. No. Well, look, I don't live in Santa Fe, so I'll spill all the beans and then run out of town. Yes, it is based off of Faye Dunaway, that character. And one of the fun things about this play is it is extremely... There are some hilarious parts in Act 1, not just for people that are in the art community, but just the craziness that you go through in this industry. And we meet the Faye Dunkirk character as she is also in an improv troupe the same time as our lead female. And she's described as a not-so-kind character who is constantly on the phone yelling at her managers and agents to get the top directors, or she will kill them, their mistresses, their children and their dogs. So she's not painted very positively in the beginning.
But she becomes a more sympathetic character as the time goes on. And again, this is always just by reference. We never actually see her on stage. But I think there's also a kind of a grudging admission, even in the beginning, that sometimes that's what it takes to succeed in an art form that is as competitive as theater is.
Right.
And then back to Joan Darling's character, Judy doesn't really have that sort of brutal competitiveness.
No.
She just has raw and honed talent,
mm-hmm.
and then ends up kind of doing other things with her life, but always coming back to theater.
Right, and always, and the other thing she does, she has great success, but there's just that little slightly sour edge to the, you know, to the drink, which is that the one thing she wanted, the great starring role on Broadway, never materializes.
And since you brought it up, I would like to say it's really fun because, yes, the play was written for Joan Darling. But now, having worked on a couple of productions and finally getting Jonathan in this role, it's such a challenge that I'm sure you could speak to, but, you know, Joan has a lot of biography that she talks about in the play, whereas Jonathan's character, he had to come up with from scratch just based off the script,
right,
which can sometimes be more complicated, but also can be easier as an actor to be able to distance yourself from some of the things that you do.
Well, I'm not sure if distancing is really it, but there's a lot in the script that indicates who the character is at every given moment, and so for me, it's not such an arduous challenge to find who the character is, because you play it and you have a good director like Blake who points you in the right direction.
Now, Blake, you are clearly a wonderful director, but you're just passing through town.
That's right.
That's not fair.
That's right. I've been to Santa Fe one time before, and that was to go to Taos for a wedding. But now I've been here for 6 weeks doing this show and have fallen in love with the town. But I normally live in New York and L.A., more now in L.A. doing TV work.
Blake's association goes back a number of years with Joan Darling and Bill Svano. And Joan and Bill, as you know, used to live here for many years before they moved to North Carolina to teach. And so they wanted to come back here and do this show in the town where they had a lot of association, a lot of memories, and a lot of friends. And they wanted, so that they were responsible for bringing Blake here to do the show that he had staged before, but to stage it especially for a Santa Fe audience.
Right, and you and Joan had been looking for plays for the two of them to do together, very much like the characters in the show had always been looking to work together, and this was just the synchronicity of it finally working out.
Well, we hope to have you back in Santa Fe. The play is called Callback. Blake Bradford is the director, Jonathan Richards and Joan Darling are the two actors, and it runs Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at 8 in the evening, Sunday at 2 o'clock. That's the last performance, and if people want to get tickets, they can call 988-4262 or go to santafeplayhouse.org. Thank you both so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thanks, Mary Shaw.